Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So one of the things that happens when we study the gospel and we study Jesus is it does not stay an academic endeavor. It doesn't work that way. It gets personal. So what happens up here transforms stuff in here as well. It gets personal. It really does. And so there's a couple of people this morning that are going to be sharing with us how they have felt challenged and transformed by the Gospel of Mark and the central character of the Gospel of Mark, who is Jesus. Yeah, that's an easy one. You should get that one. But at the end of 2 years of studying the Gospel. Anyway, how has Jesus transformed their life in the past couple of years as we've been on this journey? So we're going to hear from Andrew and we're going to hear from Thomas. They both serve primarily with our Willoughby campus, but they're here with us this morning, and we're happy to have them with us. So let's welcome Andrew, first of all.
Good morning, everyone. Like Luke said, my name's Andrew, and I'm a student at a nearby college. I'm also interning here at Living Waters, and I've just been asked to share a couple reflections about our time in Mark and some things that I've experienced along the way. My first reflection is just an overwhelming awe and thankfulness for the person of Jesus Christ. We've seen it week in and week out. This Jesus is the man who calms storms. He drives out evil spirits. He miraculously feeds thousands. This man heals diseases. This man teaches profound truth. The truth he preaches perplexes the religious elite of his day. This man raises the dead. He walks on water. He's the same man who embraces the marginalized, and he eats with sinners like me. The same man who was transfigured in glory. The same man who's spoken about throughout the Old Testament. The man we've been studying in the Gospel of Mark is God himself. And through our time, I've just personally reflected on the very character of God, how he relates to humankind, how he relates to me. It's been an astonishing journey. At the same time, this is also the God who was denied. This is the God who was betrayed and arrested and beaten. The God who was misunderstood. The God who was insulted. The God who died a horrific death, executed as if he was a criminal. The irony of a God executed as a blasphemer. And yet a God who endured it all. And he endured it all for me, and he endured it all for you. It's an incredible story. This man also, he rose again in glory, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. I have hope today. I don't know about you, but I have hope today, knowing that Jesus is King. Right now. That Jesus, through the Gospel of Mark, has been renewing all things. He's still doing that today. And he's renewing me. I can't help but respond in any other way than simply uttering, "Thank you, Lord." Thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim that you're alive. The things you did in his earthly ministry, he's doing them now through his Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for all of those things. I'm also thankful for simple things that I take for granted on a daily basis. The very fact that I can pray to a God who is both living and loving is astonishing. It's incredible. It was incredible back in the ancient world, and it's just as incredible today. Throughout our journey in Mark, I've continually found myself just in awe of this person of Jesus of Nazareth. On every page of this gospel, not just the amazing things that he did, but the fact that he actually dignified people. He met people face to face. He listened to them. The God of the universe sat down at table with people. He looked them in the eye. He prayed for them. He had compassion on them. The same God that we proclaim to be ascended to the right hand of the Father in glory sat down in the muck and the mire with people like me. I'm thankful today that we don't serve a God who is far off, who is somewhere else, just looking down, who's impersonal. We serve a God who personalizes us, who brings me life, and he does it in a relational way, who looks me in the eye, who heals my wounds, who washes my sin, and provides for me a whole new way of living. This Jesus has changed everything for me. And it's just incredible to know that the Jesus that we've encountered together as a corporate body in the Gospel of Mark is the same one we encountered together in our daily lives, when the extraordinary and the mundane. I don't have a lot of amazing or profound thoughts other than just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, and to know that we should be part of a community that gives him all the honor and glory and praise in all of our lives. The second reflection that I have has just been a question that I've been wrestling with since we started the book of Mark. How am I more challenged to be like Jesus? So what I would do on a Sunday morning is I'd get out of bed, get ready for church, come with my Bible and a notebook, and write down applications. How I can be more like Jesus? Well, it didn't take long before I kept adding and adding and adding and adding. And my basic answer is just, I have to be changed in every single way. Jesus doesn't just bring a few more rules or a few new thoughts as to how we can alter our life. He brings a whole new way of being human. One of the thoughts that stuck with me was in Mark 12. Jesus states that we are to give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. I remember leaving that Sunday morning thinking that if we proclaim Jesus to be Lord and Master over all creation, that has serious implications and ramifications for my life. He's then Jesus, this who is Lord and Master over every square inch of my being. So, Andrew, give to God what's God's. The idea of handing my whole life, signing my life away in order to truly find it in him, has been challenging to me. But I've become more and more convicted that the only reasonable and logical response to an encounter with this Jesus Christ is just to devote my entire self to him. To have to give over my thoughts, my affections, my body, my person, in service and in worship to him, no matter where he leads. Jesus says in Mark 8 that whoever wants to be his disciple has to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. Again, the only reasonable and logical response to the Son of God who proclaims these things to us is to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. And yet, how difficult. I've been wrestling with this the whole way through because Jesus' call is a hard call. It's a serious call. It'll make us uncomfortable. It'll put us in danger. See, I wrestle with the tension of wanting to give Jesus my everything, all of my passion, all of my heart, and yet at the same time, holding back some, wanting control, wanting some level of autonomy. It's kind of silly when I say it out loud. Because I know in my heart that I have to give over that autonomy and exchange it for community with God. And that sometimes it seems like an impossible task for me. I don't have compassion like Jesus has compassion. I don't. I don't have a strong sense of self-awareness that he does. I don't have the same faith in his Father that Jesus does. And I also know that I can't resolve this tension. I know that I don't have the ability to make myself more like Jesus. And I've tried. I've tried for a long time to make myself more like Jesus. It hasn't worked. It's God who has to change me. It's God who has to work in my heart. God has to stir my affections. So in faith, my response to the Gospel of Mark is just to daily pray. And to pray this way. Holy Spirit, come. Come fall afresh on your church. Holy Spirit, come fall afresh on me. Help me and transform me and change me and lead me and guide me and give me faith. Help me to follow this Jesus of Nazareth. Mold me more and more into his likeness. Give me his compassion. Give me a deeper and a more intimate relationship with this Jesus. Fill us. Give us his mission in this world for our sake and for the sake of people in Fort Langley. and just pray, come Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
So as Luke already said, my name is Thomas, and I have a disclaimer for all of you ahead of time. I'm a crier, and if I can feel that you guys are emotional with me, it'll just bring me even closer. I haven't cried yet, but there's one part where it gets close. So that's my disclaimer for the morning. I remember the first time that somebody asked me if there was a character in the Bible that I related to. And I remember racking my brain and trying to come up with something. And I went through the list that I could come up with in my head, and I was like, well, I'm not like Moses. I didn't part any seas. I'm not like Daniel. And Jesus is definitely not relatable. He's admirable, but not relatable to me. And then one Sunday back in early 2014, Leanne preached a sermon on Mark 5, the passage about the man who struggled because he was possessed by a legion of demons. And it clicked. I finally had a character who I felt like understood something that I did as well. For years, I've struggled with depression and anxiety, and it's something that over time I've had to figure out how to live with and conquer. I don't remember exactly where or when it started. It didn't come like a tsunami. It came much more like the tide does, slowly coming in, subsiding at times, giving me hope. But then the next thing you know, it's high tide again. I know that by the time I was 14, it was already unbearable. I struggled through high school, and I worked hard to get through university. But after graduating from university, it got even worse. I thought about taking my life for years, and I had almost tried a few times. I thought that I couldn't handle the stress anymore of life, of work, of relationships. It felt like as I transitioned out of university, everyone else's life was clicking into place. And as they did that, they needed me less and soon wouldn't need me at all. Every call or text I sent, even to my closest friends, made me feel like I was an acquaintance that was nagging them. I didn't think anyone would or could understand, and I thought that since they couldn't see any physical wounds, that my pain counted less. I had allowed the lying voices in my head to say so many things that I couldn't even tell that they were lies anymore. I believed that there might just be something inherently wrong with me, that I was unfixable because I was my only problem. So almost 2 years ago, it came to a night where I felt like I could take it no longer, and I attempted suicide. As I was being driven to the hospital, all I remember is turning to my friend and asking, "Do you think that Jesus will forgive me?" My friend turned to me and told me he already has. That week was hard, to say the least. The truth of my friend's answer didn't immediately sink in. The pastoral staff here at Living Waters walked alongside me well. But I was still so ashamed of my brokenness that I didn't want to ask for help. I felt like I was so broken that I was unfixable. I felt like Jesus offered forgiveness to everyone except me, because me, I was too broken. I had this idea in my head that every sin and mistake I made was working up towards this threshold, and that I was the only person in the history of humanity to ever cross that threshold. It sounds ridiculous to say it out loud, but it doesn't feel ridiculous when you feel unfixable. I took the next day off work saying that I was sick, and I truly was. But then I went back to work for the rest of the week like nothing even happened. The answer that my friend had given sunk in that Sunday when Leanne spoke on Mark 5, verses 1 to 20, the story of Legion and the man that 2,000 demons possessed. I was captivated by every word. I resonated with this story. I felt like that man and Jesus was starting to heal me. I saw hope. Mark 5 says, "This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him, Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This was a character I could resonate with. This man understood pain. My story was perhaps not as dramatic as his, but it gave me something that I felt was relatable. What happens next is Jesus frees this man from the oppression and possession that he was experiencing, and the man turns to Jesus and begs him to go with him. Jesus responds by saying, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." I took that next couple days off of work, rented a cabin on the beach with a friend, and I listened to an audio recording of the book of Mark on repeat. I figured that since as a church we were journeying through this book together, that there was something I needed to hear. And as I listened to it, all I wanted was to know this Jesus more and to continue working on this experience that I resonated with, to experience that freedom. And the process took much more than the 2 days that I was able to take off work. But I don't want to glaze over the most exciting part of this story. The best part was that not only was this man freed, but he was then called by Jesus to immediately start telling people. Jesus recognized that the man was ready to go and share with the people how he had met the person of Jesus and experienced freedom. I am sometimes afraid of sharing my story because I'm afraid that people will see my weakness and they will think that I'm not properly equipped to do what I do, that their opinion of me will change. But that's not what Jesus said to this man. He didn't say, "You're still too broken to serve me." He didn't say that your experience disqualifies you from living a life, this fulfilling life that I'm promising everyone else. And he didn't say that your experience is something that the professional missionaries need to share. It's not something you need to pass on who's better at speaking. He said to the man, "Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So 2 years later, I'm here and I'm scared to share this story, to expose my weakness and vulnerability. However, I'm again encouraged by this story in Mark 5, by the fact that Jesus called that man, the man who had experienced extreme oppression and possession, to go and share with the world how Jesus had healed him. Leanne shared in her sermon that this story shows us that no one is beyond hope. And it was exactly what I needed to hear and exactly what I needed to experience. And that's why I'm so thankful that we went through the Gospel of Mark.
Our band's going to come on back up and we're going to do a little more singing. But before we do that, we want to give some space and time to be able to reflect ourselves individually on what God might be saying to us. So our host team is going to begin passing out some index cards as well as some pencils if you need them. So they can begin doing that right now. That would be great. You can just take one and pass it along. We've been in the gospel for, you know, as Doug said, for 2 years. That's a lot of text. That's a lot of learning. And some of us have been around for just a couple of weeks. Some of us have been around for the entire journey. But it's important at the end of a journey like this, even having just read some of the scripture that we've read, to really consider what it means for us in the here and now, what this means for us personally. I try and listen to God. And there's a lot of things to listen to, and sometimes I don't take a lot of time to listen to him. But more intentionally in these last couple years, I've tried to listen more to him. Sometimes I listen to him by reading the word and asking him, what are you saying to me through the scripture? Sometimes I listen to him just in prayer, and I ask, what do you need to say to me? And I do hear him speak or say something to me. Sometimes I listen to him by listening to other people. And they will be praying and say they feel they have an encouraging word for me in some way or some sort. So there's lots of ways to listen to God. More recently in my life, I'm wondering if someone could just jump up and give Glenn a hand here on this side, just so we can get our cards and pencils passed out quickly. Thank you so much, Dr. Chris. We appreciate that. There's many ways to listen to God. Recently in my life, I was just praying, and I was in a bit of a desperate place, and I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. What do you want to say to me? And he spoke something to me, and that's just between me and God, so you don't get to know what that is. But I wrote it down on an index card, and I folded it in half, and I put it on my bedside table, just sort of like this, so that it could sort of just stand there. And when I wake up in the mornings, I look and I see what's written on that card. And I've done that a few other times, and so the card is kind of filled with different phrases now, passages of scripture and things like that. And I wake up in the morning sometimes and I don't feel great. I'm overwhelmed, I'm anxious, concerned. There's all kinds of things that go on in life that can push us that way. But when I look at what's written on that card, I'm reminded of what God said to me that day, and that's totally true for that morning as well. So what we want to do over the next few moments, the band is going to play some music in the background, is ask a few questions of ourselves and of God. And we're going to put those questions on the screen. First of all, if you're new or newer to us, maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not, that's okay. All I want you to do is consider this question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And just to write that on that card. Other questions we can consider is, what have you learned or experiences regarding God's nature and character as seen in Jesus during our time in Mark's gospel? Or what do you think God wants you to learn or experience about his nature and character as you continue to grow as a follower of Jesus? And finally, this question, which I encourage you to ask in this time of silence. What is God saying to you right now? What does he want you to hear? Maybe this is the first time you've ever done anything like this. Maybe it's been a while since you've done something like this, but the world is noisy, and so we're going to take a little bit of a break and ask the Holy Spirit to speak. What does he have to say to you? And then I encourage you not to leave this behind, but to put it in your Bible, put it on your mirror, fold it in half, put it on your nightstand, and let God's voice speak to you. If you don't feel like you can write anything down, that's okay. That's okay as well. But I really encourage you to ask those questions. The band's going to play. We're going to give you a few minutes to do this.